Today is, as I said, July 5th, day after our celebration of July 4th, Independence Day. The scripture that I have today is talking about sermon is the greatest freedom. The greatest freedom. And we read from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as we've celebrated the past 250 years of our independence from England and the king, some of us, well, did you? How many read the Constitution? Well, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the Declaration of Independence, that's not the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. It was designed for multiple audiences, the king, the colonist, and the world. It was also designed to multitask. Its goals were to rally the troops, win foreign allies, and to announce the creation of a new country. The introductory sentence states the declaration of man's purpose, to explain the colonists' right to revolt, in other words, to declare the cause which impelled them to be separate. Congress had to move the legitimacy of its cause. It has just defied the most powerful nation on earth, and it needed to motivate foreign allies to join the fight. So when you think about this, you know, England, the most powerful nation on earth at that time, it had colonies all over the world. And so here we are, this fledgling group of people, 13 colonies, and we decide that we don't want to be ruled by England. So their representatives from each state are getting together. And there's a movie out. Which one was that? The preacher? Anyhow, there's a minister who started preaching, and while they were trying to formulate the Constitution, and it was the implication was, it was his preaching and his ministry that stirred the hearts of the people that they would put together this Declaration of Independence. And how that the independence is written, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is just my summation. We find that England was putting a tax on the colonies and was... they were very used to having provinces and extensions of their empire, you know, around the globe, because they had the biggest navy, they had the biggest amount of ships and so on. So it wasn't uncommon for them to come and overtake a colony or overtake a group of people. So anyhow, if you look at the preamble and you look at the declaration, we find that it's trying to break the tyranny of another country, or the tyranny of sin, and take my yoke upon you. So it's easier for them to have the yoke of their own life here in the United States and make it on their own as to be in the yoke with England. And I am meek and lowly in heart, that we are not kings. We are not kings. The king in England rules like a king, and they wanted no part of it. And you shall find rest for your souls. We don't want to be always wondering what is going to be the next tax and what is going to happen in our lives. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. They were wanting out from underneath England's thumb. So it's in the writings of the Constitution, excuse me, of the Declaration, we can see the scriptures and how that they are implied. If you take how that Christ has forgiven us of sin and how that he has set us free from the wages of sin, that we can see how that the formers of this Declaration are using Christian principles to establish this sovereignty and this moving away from or getting out from underneath the England's thumb. So these are the lines contemporary Americans know best. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And these stirring words desire to convince Americans to put their life on the line for the cause. So this meant war. This meant a civil war. This meant a war between the colonists and England. And what armies does the colonists have? None. Absolutely none. And the guy who stepped forward in all this was George Washington. And, you know, so we find that it's just like almost haphazard. And they were, you know, they were conscripting people from different states to come and fight. And these aren't soldiers. They're farmers. They're people living in small villages around these towns, you know, like John's Jonestown. And what is the Bedford, you know, the Ford where Washington slept here, you know. So, I mean, these little places, from them, they drew the army for the Americans to fight against the British, who were a well-oiled machine and who have conquered nations and kept people under their thumb all over the world. So the Declaration of Independence is something that, you know, we don't read it every day. Very seldom we even hear it unless the politician is wanting to say something that they can draw from to support their platform. But we thank God for the freedoms that we enjoy. We remember those who sacrifice so that the future generations could live in liberty. So there were, you know, you look at the number of people who died since the Civil War, or the war between England and, what's that called? Civil War is North and South. Revolutionary War. There we go. Thank you. The Revolutionary War. Then there was the French and Indian War. So, but anyhow, we have this this declaration of independence, and we find that people have sacrificed themselves, and because of their sacrifice, we're able to sit here with freedom. And so, one quote that I remembered from a long time ago, we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. You know, we're always standing on someone's shoulder because they prepared and made a way for us, and we follow them. Now, the idea is that we build the right foundation, and we continue to grow, and the next generation builds upon that. So political freedom is a special gift that has, you know, like, freedom is not free. It costs people things. And so it is a gift that people have laid down their lives for. But even in a free nation, people can still be bound. They can still be bound by fear, guilt, anxiety, loneliness, bitterness, exhaustion, by brainwashing, being convinced about certain aspects of our nation that don't exist. So Jesus in Matthew 11:28 says, declare the cause which impelled them to the separation. So that cause that was in the declaration is kind of in this, come ye all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The declaration says, declaring the cause which impelled them to the separation. Separation from England, Christ is saying to us, be separated from sin. Let sin be taken from you. So let's be separated. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So the challenge is that Jesus wants us to look at our life, all right? Do you feel like it's almost impossible to make? Do you feel like there's not, you know, not going to make it? Things are bad. Things are worse. All those things that go on, and what are we supposed to do? We're to come to Jesus and to allow him to carry our burdens. So Our nation has experienced wars, economic hardships, divisions over the past 250 years. The wars, the Korean War. I heard the other day a general, they were talking about his service in North Korea. And the American battalion, I think it was the 8th battalion of soldiers, was surrounded by 300,000 Chinese. And they went to the general and they were all, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the general says, we've been looking for this enemy and now we found them. And no matter where we attack, they're there. And so he said, we're going to go south, back to the harbor. And it took them like 2 weeks. But anyhow, they marched back and just totally demoralized the 300,000 Chinese. They were outmanned like 7 or 8 to 1. But the guy, his approach to the problem, we've been looking for the enemy, and they come and they say, we're surrounded. Now we know where the enemy's at. We can attack in any direction and find the enemy. It's like, okay. So that was the rallying cry for his army. So it's quite interesting how these critical moments in our life and in our history, that simple words, MacArthur, I'll be back. Okay, so whenever we hear these declarations and people making statements, sometimes we think they're of no, just people blowing off steam. Well, what are the words that Christ gives to us in the scripture? What is the word that Christ hands to us and says, believe? All things are possible. So allowing those words to filter into our life. So every person carries burdens, just as our nation has carried many, many wounds. So the burden of sin, the burden of regret, the burden of grief, the sorrow of a broken relationship, the burden of trying to be enough, the burden of just trying to make life worth living. So it's whatever our burden may be. Not everybody has the same burden. Not everybody has the same philosophy. But what we're looking at is, how does Christ take people, individuals who have this burden, this thing that they are carrying in their life, and how does he help us? What is the figure that he gives to us in our relationship? So, I will give you rest, Jesus says. The rest that Jesus offers is deeper than a vacation in, where'd you go? Your vacation? Ocean City, there we go. What is it? Our rest is deeper than a rest in Ocean City. That's pretty good. We used to go there. Yeah. I always remember the vacation, all of it. I mean, all like this. You go on vacation, as soon as you just rush to get there, and then you get there, set everything up, and you rush to enjoy every day, and then you pack everything up and rush to get home because you got to go to work the next day. So now that you're retired, you don't have to do that. Whoever thought about retiring, right? So anyhow, the rest that Jesus gives to us is greater than a rest of going on vacation. It is the rest of the soul, that our soul finds a way to be at peace with God and peace with our lives. It is the assurance that we are forgiven, that Christ has forgiven us of our sins, that we are loved, that Jesus loved us this much that he would die for our sins, that you are accepted, not because you did something. You are accepted for who you are. You're never alone. So the freedom Christ gives to us cannot be declared by a government or by a declaration. It is given to us by the grace of God. So we find that freedom that leads to purpose is one nation's freedom came with responsibility. Our nation's freedom came with responsibility. People, well, some people came into the United States, you know, that we're an opportunity country. People can become things, and people can become thieves. We can rob from the system. Well, you didn't have to be an immigrant to do that. So likewise, our freedom in Christ is not permissive to live however we choose. You know, it's like one guy said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to lay back on the riverbank, and I'm going to kick the tree, and I'm going to eat fruit all day. Okay? But there is no night, so that means you're going to eat this fruit all day long, and you'll never, you know. That was his image of heaven, laying on a bank of a river. Well, I don't think it's going to be that way. But it's going to be filled with life. It's going to be filled with opportunities and with declarations and things that we will do for God, that we can't even imagine the things that God has for us. So our freedom in Christ is not permission to sit on the hammock for the rest of our life. It is freedom to love God, to serve others, and become people that he created us to be. We're all created with a purpose. So Paul says in Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called into liberty, and use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So you have been called to be free, and your freedom is a liberty to serve. That we would say, well, you know, in most societies, the greater you are, the more servants you have. But Jesus is saying, the greater you are in Christ, the freer you are to serve. We're looking to serve one another. So freedom does not mean I'm free to sit somewhere and do nothing. Liberty is a self-determination that we have the freedom to choose where we want to go, what we want to do. The choice is a free will to become. You know, free will to become. I mentioned this earlier that when you talk to your children, grandchildren, whomever, you say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, if you were in Russia or China, you know, that's a foolish question. You don't have a choice. You're going to be what the government tells you you're going to be. And you're going to become what the government tells you you're going to become. And that's just how it is. Now we think, well, that's, you know, we don't understand that concept. But I remember reading about the farmers in Russia, that they have like two or three times the acreage that we do to grow crops. But their crops fail. Their crops don't get harvested. Why? Because the people who do the farming, they put in their 8 hours. They shut everything down and go home. Well, I don't, around here, around in America, you work, you know, 24 hours if you have to get things in or to be planted. And, you know, everything has to be done in such a way to perform its best performance in the soil. They don't care. Why? Because that's not their land. It's not what they're getting paid for. You know, I'm not getting paid to make sure this grows correctly. I'm getting paid to put it in the ground and harvest it. And the rest, that's up to somebody else. So, you know, they have this mentality about life that is very narrow. It's what I need to do, and when I do what I need to do, I'm leaving. And that's, you know, that's how their perspective is. So the invitation of Jesus is an invitation for us to become, you know, to get rid of the chains that bind us, to get rid of the sins that so easily beset us, to get rid of the things that would hold us back and dim our view of the future. So nations rise and fall and generations come and go, but the invitation of Jesus Christ remains unchanged. So we talk about 250 years, But we here now talk about 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave this invitation, and it's just as real today as it was then. The Roman Empire ruled the world 2,000 years ago. But where are they at? They crumbled and went away. So we find that the nations rise and fall, but the message of Christ is still the same. And there has been a remnant of the church and of believers in Christ from 2,000 years ago to today. It can be traced. So we are grateful for God's blessing to our country, to our lives. And so we are grateful for how that Jesus says to us, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart." Notice what he says, "Take my yoke." Jesus is saying, "I have a yoke," meaning that there's two of us together. You know, a yoke in the New Testament was generally for two animals to pull a cart. And the farmers who were using their animals correctly and for long periods of time, they had the carpenters fit the yoke to the animal. Now, and some of the people who have horses and they are very wealthy, they will have saddles built, formed to the back of the horse. And so whenever we think of a yoke, Jesus is telling us everyone's going to have a yoke. You're going to have the yoke you are going to be yoked with, tied into life with sin, or you're going to be tied into life with me. And Jesus is saying, "I created this yoke just for you. You are the life that you are living is the life that God has created for you." And he says that he will enter into this relationship with you and help you pull, as it were, your life together, and that he will always be there for you. And so our life has been designed by God, and the struggles are for us to know the grace and the mercy of God. But he doesn't just stop there. He continues, "Take my yoke," and he also says, "Learn of me." That life is a journey that we are learning about. You know, like in communist countries, what's the use of learning? I'm going to be told what to do if I can do my job. And I'm told what to do, I don't need to learn anything. But we are learning, we are growing. And it takes, Jesus is saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." What's there to learn about God? Well, he loves you, number one. Number two is he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he also says, "Nothing is impossible to those who believe." So we've got all of this substance that we are learning to be part of our life, and it's part of our freedom that we have in Christ. And as we are pulling our life together in the yoke with Jesus, all of these promises are being told to us every day. We have a partner with Christ, and his yoke is easy. His burden is light, because you know he's designed it for you, therefore you can do it. You know, he has designed this for you, your life. And the difficulties that you face, you do them together. So, Jesus says, "Walk with me." You know, I was thinking back of the Garden of Eden when we did the message on Adam and Eve in the garden. Jesus would come, God would come to Adam, and he'd say, "Come on, walk with me. Walk with me, Adam." There was no back and forth, they just accepted it. "Nothing, I'm not good enough, I've done this, I've done that." So in the primary relationship, it was just God and I together walking through life. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Learn of me, walk with me, learn from me. We learn from our teacher. We learn from the one who has been here and has designed the present and the future for us. Let me bear life with you. That's the yoke. So this is the greatest freedom of all, not merely the freedom to do as we please, but the freedom to walk with Christ. We have freedom to walk with Christ through his presence, to experience his peace, and to rest in his love. We are walking with him. And Jesus comes to us and says, hey, walk with me. Let's do this together. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? So we celebrate the birth of a nation, which is wonderful, but we celebrate the message of Christ to us. It is freedom. And you wouldn't think that you could say, take a yoke, meaning for two work animals, for two animals that were going to pull the wagon, and talk about freedom. But you see, because we are free in Christ, there's a whole different approach to the yoke that we are in. Because we're always in a yoke, the yoke of sin or the yoke of Christ. You know, and so we have this formality, this declaration that this is who we are. And Christ is here with us in the whole journey. So for this moment in time, we are asking Christ, be with me. We're asking Christ to speak his word to us. And as he speaks his word to us, we have strength for the next step. We have strength for the next day. And I know for whatever reason, I think about on the farm, and days like this, we would bale hay. And we would bale 500, 700 bales of hay. And then we'd go around and pick them up off the ground, throw them in the wagon. And then we go into the air-conditioned barn with a tin roof and unload it. And we would do it again tomorrow. And we'd do it again the next day. And we did it for about 20,000 bales of hay. And you know what? I never minded it. I mean, I got tired and you hurt and whatever. You complained a little, but it was just like, this is what we're supposed to do. So you did it. And you know, I think some ways that's kind of what Christ is saying to us. Live your life with me, for my life with you is easy. My burdens are light, because when two people are sharing them together, it works. You know, when we baled 700 bales a day, there was always two or three of us. Can you imagine just one? That'd be horrible. So when I went to college, my dad bought a bale thrower. So that was one of those things you put on the back of the baler, kicked them into the wagon. Yep, he bought a bale thrower, and all of our wagons were converted to catch them. I went to college. But you see, he found a way to make it easier for my foster brothers and those who were working there. But we get the idea, my burden is light. And it isn't that it goes away, it's that we're connected to Christ. And he speaks that word to us every day. Jesus, we thank you for being our Savior, for being our friend, to being our very present help in time of trouble, that your presence with us brings fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Lord, it's hard for us to comprehend these things in the daily weight, on the daily walk of life when difficult things happen. But Lord, we are yoked together in your yoke, and that it holds us close to you. So help us, Lord, not to fight against life, but Lord, to accept your presence, accept your word, and Lord, to live a life that is pleasing to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.